Timothy 2, 8 through 15. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach the good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it is bringing salvation and external glory in Jesus Christ for those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If I die with him, will he also live with him? If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. An approved worker. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and correct explains the truth, the word of truth. The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that. Yeah. So, Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy. They had quite a relationship together, those two. Timothy was really the protege of Paul. Timothy was one who held very closely to Paul, traveled with him for a little while, but was influenced by his ministry. And Paul, knowing that his time in ministry was beginning to fade, and his years in ministry were beginning to fade, he knew that he kind of had to pass the baton on. And so he began to teach Timothy in these letters. He began to teach him about how to be a good minister of the gospel. It was from this book that I was called when I was in high school in 11th grade in November of 1979, where I had heard all of the instruction and was reading through my evening devotions. I was reading through what Paul was telling Timothy and how he should be, and he should do this and he should do that, and he should teach this and he should teach that. I found it all kind of boring actually at first. But then I came upon a verse where Paul told Timothy, he said, if you say these things or teach these things to the brethren, you will be a good minister of the gospel of Christ. And it really was though I was reading the words, it was though I heard them in my mind. And though I know it sounds rather supernatural or something, but that the Lord was behind me in saying those words. Now you got to know, I was not planning on doing that. My plans were to go into the Air Force and to fly. That's what I wanted to do. And, you know, and I remember when I felt that and heard that, that I pushed away from my desk in my room and I said, no way. Ain't happening. I have been for 17 years with my father and saw all the fun he had as a pastor, and I said, not a chance. Dad would tell me, he would say, you know, if you can do anything else, you should do it. and yet, here it was. I didn't say anything to anyone, my parents, no one, my best friend, for 6 months. Because I wanted to make sure that this is what God wanted me to do. I have to tell you, living near the airport is kind of tough, especially when it comes to you know, when the Thunderbirds are there or there's an air show there, it gets real tough because I watch those things fly overhead and I think to myself, boy, that'd have been awesome. So that was how I was called into ministry from this book, this letter. I still believe it to be true. Sometimes with the struggles that you face in ministry because you're dealing with so many different personalities, it can be interesting. It can. And sometimes, because of my own personality, we call it casual speak, casual talking. Pastors, we talk about this. And I tend to do this. I tend to come away from the pulpit and not read a manuscript when I preach. And when I do that, sometimes I get freewheeling, you know. And you can offend people just by casual talk. It's the last thing I want to do is offend anyone. But those kind of things happen, and I think, oh, you know, God, you really should have called someone else. People will talk to me after church every once in a while, or in a meeting, you know, after a meeting, and they'll say, I don't know if you should have said that. And I say, yeah, you're probably right, I shouldn't have. So I say all that to say this, good help is hard to find. Did you ever go, I'm driving up 79 now, there's a couple of new spots, and the workers aren't working. What do we pay these guys for? Honest to goodness. Unbelievable. Good work, and good workers are hard to find. If you have a business where you have to hire people or whatever, you'll know exactly what I'm saying. Or where you work, they'll hire young people, and those young people stay a couple of months and they get bored, or they, oh, this is too hard, and then they just don't come to work. I was talking to the guys that were paving out here this summer, and they said, oh, we had 3 or 4 guys that didn't come in today. And I said, why? We have no idea. They just didn't show up. And I think it's probably a good thing. Of course, this sermon was planned long ago, months and months ago. It's probably a good thing that we're talking about this today because it's staff appreciation and all the people who work in the church. It's the same thing in the church. Good help is hard to find. Dedicated people. We have not had that problem. Thank the Lord. I mean, we're very, very blessed to have the people that we have. So Timothy and Paul had this kind of relationship, and Paul was very concerned about Timothy passing on the gospel and continuing with the gospel. Paul here is telling Timothy, his young apprentice, to be consistent and to be a steady worker for the kingdom of God. But the question is, how? What does Paul have to tell him about how to be a steady and consistent worker? 2 Timothy chapter 3, or chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, say it well. He says to Timothy here, Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, he said. Paul said to him, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and her mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God has given you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So here's what Paul said. He said, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer for me, or with me, for the sake of the good news. Never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. So certainly that was for him, but it's also for us. It's also for us. So what are the four things? So he continues on in this passage, and he talks about four ifs. And in verse 11, he said, if we die with him, we will also live with him. So Paul is encouraging Timothy to actually die with Christ. In other words, put your entire life on the gospel. Put everything you have into the gospel. There is nothing else that is worthwhile beyond that. Those words and that truth does not change. You see, when we hear from the scriptures and we hear from the Apostle Paul mostly about dying with Christ, of course it doesn't mean physical death. But it means taking all of our life and sacrificing it for the kingdom of God. And you see, I got to tell you, at age 17, I was not willing to do that, at least for 6 months. I said, no, I'm going to do my plan. And he said, no, I want you to die to your plan and do my plan. The other thing I wanted to do, by the way, was to sing with a gospel quartet. I got the chance to do that last night, which was kind of cool. But you see what Paul is saying here? What is it that's most important in your life? Are you willing? Are you and I willing to give that up for the kingdom of God and to say, God, you do with my life whatever you want to do. I will sacrifice it all. I'll give it away. What do you want me to do? That's dying with Christ. Secondly, endure hardship. Stay the course. One thing, if anything, that Paul knew, ministry was not easy. One thing that I knew at the age of 17 was ministry is not easy. You'll never please everybody. My biggest problem is that I try to please everybody. You guys know that by now. Right? But he's telling Timothy here, endure hardship. Now, when Timothy hears that from the Apostle Paul, he's not thinking about having to have session meetings, or he's not thinking about, you know, doing everything in the church. He's not thinking about that. He's thinking about how the Apostle Paul was stoned nearly to death for pronouncing and preaching the gospel. That's hardship. Session has nothing on that. Okay? So Paul is telling Timothy here, endure hardship. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him, he said. Stay the course, verse 12. Stay the course. He saw and heard how Paul, and saw the scars, how Paul was beaten within an inch of his life and dragged outside the city of Ephesus to die on a garbage heap. That's hardship. Well, you know, if I speak up for God at work, people might not like me. Wow. Thanks, Tammy. You know, if I preach the gospel or if I tell other people about my faith, I might get kind of turned off, and I don't want to do that. And sacrifice for the kingdom? No, I kind of like my life the way it is. Thank you very much. Endure hardship. Third, do not deny Christ. Be faithful. This is an interesting verse because it seems like it conflicts with the very next verse, doesn't it? It seems like it conflicts. Because verse 13 says verse 12 says, if we deny him, he will deny us. Verse 13 says, if we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. So what is it? If we deny him, if we're unfaithful, he says, if we're unfaithful, or if we deny him, he will deny us. But the very next verse says, if we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. Which is it? It goes back to the word deny. For the original Greek here, it's an interesting word, deny. And it simply means deny. No, it simply means to say no. It simply means to say no. It's not about salvation. It's not about your relationship with him. It's not about, whether or not you maintain that relationship with him, whether or not. But if you say no to him, guess what? You're going to pay the result of that, which is him saying, I don't think that's going to be best for you. Does that make sense? But the bottom line is, he's telling Timothy, whatever it is that Jesus asks you to do, do it. Can be big things. What you're going to do with the rest of your life. Talking to one of the guys that sang last night, he had to come in and fill in one of the bass guy wasn't able to make this trip. So they called a guy out of retirement, Dave, and he had sung in many other quartets. What were the other ones? You guys remember? The Chuck Wagon Gang or something? One of them sang with the Imperials. Really good singers. But he said something to me before the concert, which was really kind of cool. And I says, I don't recognize you being with the quartet. He said, I'm actually retired. But Mark Blackwood called me back for this weekend, and Mark Blackwood said, well, I'll tell you when you can retire. You can't say no to me. He said, I prayed about it, and God said, yeah, you should go. If the Lord is leading you to do something, it can be, again, big or it can be very small. Maybe there's something that you have that is very precious to you, but someone else might use it, or someone else might need it. We've been in that place, and I've been in that place, where I've had things, and I've seen young pastors coming up, and I've given them stuff, and I think to myself, even while it's leaving my hand, why am I giving them this stuff? Books. You know how much you pay for books? And these young ministers, they don't have the money. The men and women that I gave them, they don't have it. And yet, you really feel from the Lord, you know what, they're going to use this more. You've hacked these books up pretty good. Why don't you give it to them? Small things. Again, or big things. Doesn't matter. If he asks you to do something, say, I'll do it. Kind of interesting to say that. I didn't even think about it. Nominations are coming up for 2020 for a session and deacons and everything else. So just saying. If the Lord says, taps you on the shoulder, say, yep, I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah. Fourth, don't be unfaithful. Don't be unfaithful. Live a faithful Christian life. The thing of it is, and this does kind of blow your mind when you think about it. We don't understand grace like this. But if we are unfaithful to God, He remains faithful to us. For He cannot deny who He is. That is, the very essential character of God Himself is to have grace and mercy on all of us. Being a believer is not an on-again, off-again experience. It's a life of service to God and to what He has called us to do. The word for unfaithful is kind of an interesting word. But will we be faithful servants for Christ? Are we willing to put everything else aside to live for the Lord and not for ourselves? Ourselves. But the word for unfaithful is apostomen, to lose the faith. You ever hear of anybody turning apostate, leaving their faith? That's not what he's telling Timothy. And he used this word is, you know, don't turn your back on the faith. Even though you are unfaithful to Him, and we get disillusioned at times, folks, we all do. He said, don't do that. Remain faithful. Even though things are hard, remain faithful. Remain faithful. God will be faithful to you. So be faithful to Him. Be faithful servants for Christ. It really is true. It really is true that we should remain faithful no matter what. Two verses in conclusion. From Romans chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. Here's what Paul said. And this is why Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Paul said in Romans 1, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. That's really what the gospel is. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Are we willing to be faithful? You see, again, I got to tell you, being a faithful believer is not an on-again, off-again experience. It's a life of service to God and to what He's calling us to do. It's a marathon, not a series of sprints. You get tired serving the Lord, you do. Just ask anybody who's been on session for a long time. You get tired. You really get tired because you've devoted yourself. You know what? Paul knew that, tired. Oh boy, did he know it. But he said, stay faithful. Stay the course. Endure it. You can do it. You only get this life once. One round. Give everything to God, even when you're tired. Father, help us to be like that. Help us to take Paul's words really seriously here. Because I think for a lot of us, it really is. It's so tempting, Lord, I got to say. So tempting for us to just get a little bit of religion and enough to kind of keep us going. But You don't call us to that. No, not by a long shot. You call us, Lord, to a devoted, faithful life. Help us to remain faithful to You. Help us to remain faithful to the gospel and faithful to the work of your kingdom. We need it, Lord. We need to be faithful. Help us, we pray, in all we do. We'll give you thanks through Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.